Happy Sabbath, everyone. You could still keep playing that. That's a beautiful song right there. Strength like no other. You ought to try singing, Kyra. Come on. Let's do some singing here. Come on. Like no other. Come on, guys. Just to me. Come on. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Like no other. Reaches to me. Hallelujah. It's such a beautiful thing when you're in the presence of the Lord and you hear music that speaks to your soul. There's something special about being in the presence of God. Seeing familiar faces and understand how broken you are. But even though you're broken, God still has a space for you where you know that you are special in His presence, regardless of the labelings that are placed on your life. As we sit here this morning, I know that many of us who are seated here or this afternoon, you know that there are people in the world that would have had labels that are targeted at you to take you down, to have you feel different. But when you're in God's presence, you know that there's something different about it when you're at the foot of the cross. And for that, I'm grateful. But before I get into the word, I'd like to, Karen, put me in a spot. So I'd like to invite Sharnay up as she'll be getting her gift. Come on, put your hands together for Sharnay. She's a Jersey girl, and you know, anything close by the Big Apple, we are grateful for. Thank you. And may God continue to bless you as you worship with us, whether in person or otherwise. All right?
Thank you.
All right, come on, give a hand clap for her. Come on. I want to say a special thank you to Dr. Bushnan and Elder Karen for having me here this morning. And I see my friend Craig and Rochelle in the back. And it's such a beautiful feeling to see you guys here. A few years ago, we were teenagers in college campus. And now we're all grown with kids. It's a different feeling. Have bills to pay and problems to deal with. It's a whole different world. Could somebody say amen? I want to say a special thank you. Whenever I'm in Motown, it's different. The praise team sets the energy right. And you feel like you're floating even before the word of God starts to be, is up front. But it's just a beautiful feeling. So thank you, praise team. Always on point where that is concerned. If there's ever a group that knows about a joyful noise, it's a message of hope. Come on, if there's ever a group who knows about making a joyful noise, it's a message of hope. Could somebody say praise the Lord? You know, as a kid, I can't forget, I was taught the first psalm, and it has stuck in my mind, a Psalm 100 said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth through all generations. Could somebody say praise the Lord? You know, as I look around the world, as I follow through the news, as I think about alligator Alcatraz, as I think about people who are running and hiding, as I think about what's happening, I can't help but say that if there's ever a time where we need to pray, it's now. You know, God has given us an awesome responsibility, not just to sit back and to watch, but to share, to comfort, and to add love and peace to others' lives. But so often we put ourselves in positions where we forget that there are others out there who are struggling, others who are not brave enough to leave their houses in this climate. And as I go through having a conversation a few weeks ago with a friend of mine, and as he shared with me his reality, I was forced to say, wow, his coming is just around the corner. Not being able to live like a human being and have to be running and hiding, it's a hard place to be. But this morning, I invite you to join me as we look at Gideon's call to courage. From fear to faith, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your divine guidance. We thank you for your love and your compassion. Father, we thank you for everything that you have done for us. And Father, we are grateful that you are our Father and friend. Father, we ask that you may bless your word and that I may not be seen today, but your Holy Spirit may infiltrate the hearts of everyone who is worshiping with us in the church at this morning. Those who are viewing us online, I ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us. And Father, when we would have been finished with the worship service today, that would have felt transformed and that would feel as if we are ready to serve you, not just in this space, but to the wider world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have you ever found yourself in a position where you felt as if it's better for you to hide than for you to show up? Have you ever found yourself in a position whereby the names and the labels that are given to you are labels and names that have you feel as if you're a second-class citizen? Have you ever found yourself in a place whereby hiding was the best place for your life? Have you ever been in a position whereby just by the mention of your name, you think that it's an opportunity for you to find a cave or to cover yourself? Have you ever been made to feel as if you're so low that it makes no sense to even show up? Have you ever been in that place where you feel so cornered by the pressures of life or by the way that you're viewed or treated, you feel as if it would have been better if you were in chains or if you were imprisoned? Have you ever been in that place where the stress and the pressure is so high whereby you're now just comfortable with surviving and thriving is no longer part of your vocabulary? Have you ever been in that place? And if you want to shake the devil and speak the truth with me, I've been in that position. I've been in that place where I don't want to hear my name called because I'm not certain what's coming after my name is being called. Have you ever been in that place? And if you're married, if you have kids, you know what I'm talking about, where the relationship is on the rocks and you wish that you could find a sweet abiding place where the Holy Spirit could give you the rest and the relaxation that you're in need of. If you have bills, you have been in that place whereby you're afraid for the end of the month to face you because you are not in a position to honor the debt or the things that you're owing. Have you ever been in that place? I want to share with you this morning that there was somebody by the name of Gideon who found himself in that position. That if you have your phones with you or if you're still in the reading business, I'd like for you to turn with me to Judges chapter 6. I'll be reading from verses 11 through 16. And the Bible says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat on the tabernacle of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. And while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of the Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of the Midian. Do not I send you?" A sterner comment right there. And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." Let us pray over the word again before we dig into it. Father, we thank you for your grace and we thank you for your mercies and we thank you for your divine guidance. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be with your servant today. Father, cleanse me of everything that is unlike thee and allow your words, Father, to touch the places of our hearts and the inner recesses so that we would recognize that you have called us mighty warrior regardless of where we're coming from. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So now we see in the book of Judges that the angel of the Lord is having a conversation with Gideon. So if we do a backdrop in what was happening in Israel at this point, once a mighty and powerful nation, Israel was now the beating stick of that area. Israel was no longer the powerful nation that anybody feared. Israel was now like the Chicago Bulls after Jordan. You remember the Chicago Bulls, they were the best thing before sliced bread, and Michael Jordan was no longer with them, and they were getting their rear end kicked because they were no longer the superstar team in the NBA. The Israelites were now known as a nation of rebellion, a nation of oppression, a nation who was constantly seeking repentance, a nation who was constantly in need of deliverance. They were marked by their instability. The Israelites were the beating stick of that nation. The Israelites were once great. The Israelites were once shining, but the Israelites were now washed up. The Israelites, the children of Israel, they had done evil in the sight of God. The children of Israel were now worshiping Baal. The Israelites were no longer worshiping God. They had turned their backs on God. For 7 years, they were given to the hands of the Midianites. They were given to severe oppression. The Midianites, along with the Amalekites and other eastern people, they were treating them like slaves. They were treating them worse than second-class citizens. The Israelites, when they planted their crops, the Midianites would come and they would destroy their crops. They would take their livelihood. The Israelites were now having to leave their houses. They could not even sleep beneath their beds. They had to leave their cellars. They were now sleeping in caves. They were now sleeping in mountains, and they were coming out as if they were night creatures because they were trampled beneath the feet of the Amalekites. Essentially, they were being systematically starved and humiliated. And if you want to go back there with me, as you think about great nations like these, you remember that there were people in the Americas who were treated like the Israelites. They were treated as if they were less than second-class citizens. But we know that there comes a point when the pain is so hard that you have to cry out for God. And after years of suffering, the Israelites finally cried out to the Lord for help. Before the Lord sent a deliverer, in Judges 6 verse 10, it says that, "I am the Lord your God, but you have not listened to me." This was God calling them not for them to be relieved from their punishment, but for them to repent from the thing that they were doing. You see, many times we find ourselves in certain positions and we want somebody to help us, but we are unwilling to make the decision to stop doing what we are doing that led us in the place in the first place. But God had sent his prophet, and the prophet was saying that yes, God is planning on delivering you, but before he delivers you, God wants you to repent. It was a dark time in Israel. And now we see the angel of the Lord, he's now talking to Gideon. And the Bible said in Judges 6 verse 11 to 12, it says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the tabernacle of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, 'The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.'" I could just imagine when the angel of the Lord said that to Gideon. Gideon must have been startled. You could look at the subtitles on Gideon's face when the angel of the Lord addressed him as a mighty man of valor. You see, Gideon was doing something here that was odd. You know, Gideon was threshing wheat in an unusual place. When you're threshing wheat, you should be doing it on the mountaintop. On the mountaintop, so the wind could separate the things that you don't need from the wheat. But the angel of the Lord found Gideon in a wine press. However, a wine press is a sunken, hidden place, and it was known for crushing grapes, not for grains. Gideon was hiding from the Midianites who had been oppressing the children of Israel. This revealed that the nation was living in fear, and the angel of the Lord found a man who was hiding, just surviving, but unwilling to thrive. The contrast highlights the fact that fear has a way of pushing us into hiding. I know somebody here this morning, you are in constant hiding because you are embarrassed of your position. The thing that fear does when you are fearful, it pushes you into hiding. Instead of being on the mountaintop, you find yourselves in caves and places where people can't find you, so they can't criticize you or they can't further oppress you. The contrast highlights the fact that, you know, he was in a survival mode. He was hiding from the Amalekites because he did not want them to rob him further than what they have done to this people. But the angel of the Lord didn't wait for Gideon to climb to the mountaintop. He found him in the pit. This shows us that God doesn't wait for us to get it all together before he calls us. He comes to us where we are. He finds us when we are broken. He finds us when we are wounded. He finds us when we are hiding. He finds us when our self-esteem is low. He finds us when we are in the pit. He finds us when we are destined for destruction. He finds us when we had no pride in who we are. And he is willing to call us even when we are in a hiding place. And he's ready to say, "Thou man of valor, even though you're hiding." So God found Gideon in a wine press. He found Gideon not because Gideon was fearless, but because he was faithful enough to show up. I know some people may be saying that, how can you say that Gideon was willing to show up? Many times when we're going through hardship, instead of finding ourselves in a position where we can feed our souls, we hide ourselves away. I could just imagine that Gideon was not the only person who needed wheat at that point, but Gideon was willing to risk it, to be embarrassed. Instead of going on the mountaintop, he found himself in the wine press, which means that he was still a coward, but he was showing up. You know, many times we want to claim fame and confidence, but God is saying that even if you feel the slightest of nudge to show up, I will do something for you, even if you show up in an insecure position. I know there are people in the church this morning whereby you are going through a hard time. It's hard for you to stand and sing. It's hard for you to give praises to God. But God is saying to you this morning that the fact that you showed up, he's willing to bless you. The fact that you are here, he's going to anoint you. The fact that you stretch your hand out, he's going to bless you. Sometimes we think that we have to have the loud faith, but Gideon here, unlike his brothers and his sisters, he crawled on his knees and he hid himself in the low place because he was afraid, but he needed food for his family. So many times we are so afraid, we rob ourselves of the basic needs that God wants to give to us. So we see Gideon in a position now, and Gideon is about to enter into a tough conversation with the angel of the Lord. Tension. If Gideon was weak, he was the least of his family. Gideon was insecure, but God was making a declaration about his life. There are many of us in this church this morning where God is wanting to make a declaration on your life, but you are saying to God, "I'm too weak. I'm too broken. I'm too bruised. I'm not worthy enough." But God is saying that once you show up, I'm going to show out for you. See, God says you will climb the mountain even though you have no legs. God is saying that I will have that opening for you regardless of how you view yourself. So we see here Gideon engages the angel of the Lord, and here we see Gideon engage in a conversation with the angel of the Lord, and Gideon was facing somebody who was complimenting him. The angel of the Lord was complimenting Gideon, but Gideon was confused because Gideon was asking, "Who on earth are you referring to?" Gideon knew that he wasn't that confident man of valor, but he was wondering what was happening here. But you see, the angel of the Lord was speaking into Gideon's future while Gideon was stuck on his present. If the Gideon appears confused because he was concerned, he was like, "I am not a worthy warrior." Gideon is like, he's saying to the angel of the Lord, "I'm a slave. I'm toothless. I'm broken. I have no pride. I'm on my knees. I'm hiding. And you are calling me a mighty warrior." If the Gideon, the son of Joash, if the Gideon was traumatized, Gideon was a coward, Gideon did not have the battle experience, Gideon was not respected by his brethren, Gideon was a byproduct of an abused nation. If the Gideon had inherited the trauma and the insecurity that he got from the children of Israel, Let me break here and break it down Sesame Street style. There are times when you are going through a place in your life and you're broken and you're wounded, not because of what you have experienced, but what you have inherited from your fathers. There's sometimes you're in a place where you're insecure, you're shy, and you're fearful of claiming what God has in store for you. But because you're looking back at the experience that your mother and your father had, you are now saying to God, I'm not worthy to claim what you have promise me. I'm here to tell you that God has your acres of diamond that is ready for you regardless of where you're coming from. You see, Gideon was stuck on his Israelites past. Gideon was stuck on the fact that his forefathers had turned their backs on God. Gideon was stuck on the fact that his father was now hiding in a cave and not being a man. So Gideon was now saying, because my father is not worthy, it means that I'm not worthy to claim the promises that God is given to me. And so often we hand down the traumas that we have experienced in our lives, and those around us, they lose the confidence that they should have because they see us not showing that we have served a mighty God, and because of that, they live the path or the life that we have displayed for them. The trauma has a way of robbing you of foresight. Trauma has a way of robbing you of your self-confidence. Trauma has a way of assassinating your self-esteem. Trauma has a way of holding you captive and believing in the ideologies that the oppressors have placed with you. Trauma has a way of giving you a new lock on the chains that the slave masters has wrapped around our founding father's ankle. So we are walking as if we are free, but we are trapped because we can't live past the trauma which we inherited from those who gave life or birth to us. The trauma has a way of limiting our expectation. For Gideon was the poster boy for fear, for doubt, and for trauma. I'd like for you to look into yourself and ask yourself this question. What kind of poster board am I? Am I a poster boy that's saying that I'm a mighty warrior? Or am I the person who could say that I'm a poster board for fear, for doubt, and for trauma? Just Gideon doubted what the angel of the Lord was saying to him. So the Bible says in Judges 6 verse 13 to 15, it said that Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? You see, many times when we are going through hardship, when we see what our parents have experienced and what has happened in our communities, we now use their experience to block us from stepping forward. So Gideon, at this point, he was saying to his God, the angel of the Lord, what are you saying? If you say that we are a chosen people, why have you allowed those things to happen to me? And I'm not going to step forward in confidence when I see what my family is going through. But I'm saying to somebody here this morning that God has given you an opportunity now to break the chains and to break the cycles that you have inherited. Not because your mother was, not because your father was, not because your grandfather was. It doesn't mean that that's the path that you're expected to live. The Bible says, and where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of the Midian. And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan. I want you to focus here with me. Let's zone in on this. It said that. And here is Gideon anointing himself with low self-esteem. Here is Gideon going back to his fathers and taking their trauma and adding it to his path. Here is Gideon digging a ditch for himself. Here is Gideon turning down an opportunity. Here is Gideon saying that the job is too good for me. Here is Gideon saying that that wife is not worthy of me. Here is Gideon putting a roadblock in his own path. Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. How many times have we made a statement, not based on what was shared with us, but what we have taken onto ourselves? He said, behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. You see, Gideon was not happy with the state of his people. Gideon was not happy with the fact that God had left them. Gideon was not happy with the fact that they were dominated by this heathen nation. Gideon was not happy that the Israelites became coward. But regardless of the fact that he was not happy, the angel of the Lord was saying to him, I'm not here to discuss theology. I'm here to anoint you. You see, many times when the anointing is on its way, we are the ones who say, hold the brakes. I'm not worthy enough for that. The boss is saying, I have a job for you. And Craig, you're saying, I'm not worthy of the promotion. The boss is saying, here is some extra time off. And you're like, boss, I have not worked long enough. But in 6 verse 12, the angel of the Lord came back. And he said, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. You see, your life is this journey. I'd like for you to journey with me. So this is your life. This is your great-grandfather, your great-great-grandmother, your mother and your father. And say, for example, they had lived a messed up life. They made bad decisions. They did all those messed up things. As a kid, as you look back, you're like, it means that I have no good in me. But what the angel of the Lord was saying to him is that from this point forward, I'll be walking with you. It means that you will be a warrior regardless of what you've experienced in your past. I wish I had somebody saying hallelujah. It means that regardless of your bloodline, regardless of your DNA, regardless of your zip code, the angel of the Lord is saying, once I'm in the mix, you are a mighty warrior. He said, God overlooks Gideon's background. You see, when God speaks to Gideon, he describes him according to what he would become and not who he was. You see, God saw the best in Gideon. You see, God saw him as a mighty warrior. God saw him as a conqueror. God saw him as a deliverer. And God saw him as the chosen one. The same is true for us today. And sometimes we wonder, why would God make those decisions? And every time my insecurity gets me to that place, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. And whenever the imposter syndrome hits your life, you need to turn to this text. And the Bible says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. So God chooses the weak things to do what? To shame the strong. God chooses the lowly things to nullify others, and God chooses the foolish to shame the wise. I'm here to tell you this morning that regardless of the trauma that you have inherited, regardless of the past that you've experienced, regardless of the failures that your life has been littered with, God is ready to do a new thing. Regardless of the fact that you are in the wine press threshing wheat when you should be on the mountaintop, God is saying to you this morning that I'm willing to come in the lowest of place, even though you are broken, even though you are bruised, even though you're teased and labeled, and I'm ready to anoint you as a mighty warrior. And so Gideon, in a conversation with the angel of the Lord, and the Bible says in Judges 6 verse 17, he went further. And Gideon replied to something that the angel of the Lord said. And Gideon said in verse 17, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it really is you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And verse 19, the Bible says, Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat from the ephah of flour. He made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on the rock and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, servant Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." I'm here to tell somebody that the angel of the Lord is within your midst. And the angel of the Lord wants to do something great in your life. And all the angel of the Lord wants for you to do is to step forward in faith. The angel of the Lord is ready to do a great and a mighty thing in your life. But the angel of the Lord wants you to understand that regardless of your background, he has a message and a promise and a path for your life. You see, Gideon was in a place where he was still doubting the angel of the Lord. I know there's somebody here this morning whereby you have gotten enough examples, but you're still saying, "God, give me another example." You say, "God, if you bless me with a child, I'm gonna serve you." And after you bless you the child, you say, "God, if you bless me with a second one," and you are playing this betting game with God. So when Gideon called on the Lord and the Lord stretched forth the tip of his staff, he recognized that he was in the presence of the Lord. You see, many times we are so accustomed to walking in the presence of the groups of others who have no confidence in who you are or what you're made of. When you are finally in the presence of the true and living God, you're still thinking as if you are a second-class citizen, even though you're now in the presence of the five-star general. The Bible says, though, when God called him a mighty warrior, I want to share something with us this morning, that God is always calling us to obedience. The obedience is better than sacrifice. So the Bible says in verse 24, so Gideon, so I could just imagine at this point, Gideon was a little bit excited, Ricky, because Gideon was now saying that, "Wow, you mean that I have met the same God who had turned his back on my forefathers? It now means that something is special about me." So when Gideon, I could just imagine Gideon stepped forward and the Bible said, the Bible said it. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is peace." To this day it stands in Ophrah in the Abizarites. But hear what happened in verse 25. That same night, say that same night. Come on somebody, say that same night. You see, when God recognizes that you are willing to claim the promise that he places on your life, he gives you a level 2 exam because he wants you to have the full certification for the challenge and the promise that he has in store for you. So the Bible says in verse 25, the same night the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down the father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid. So Gideon was afraid while he was doing the Lord's will. I'm here to tell somebody that you may be nervous, the knees may be shaking, but when the angel of the Lord calls you, even in your coward state, he still wants you to move forward. The Bible says in verse 27, so Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the town people, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. So Gideon right now, he was exercising his nocturnal faith. Could somebody say nocturnal faith? I wish I had some nocturnal believers up in here. So Gideon was fearful of doing it in the daytime because he did not want them to see him. Hallelujah, somebody. But Gideon caught his battle torch while everybody was sleeping and he fulfilled the command that God had in his life. You see, sometimes we think that we have to be big and bold, but what God is calling for is obedience. Could somebody say obedience? God is calling for obedience. God wants to recognize that you are willing to do what he has called you to do, whether on the mountaintop or in the wine press. So Gideon did that. Gideon was obedient even though he was afraid. Gideon did what was unpopular. Gideon was nervous, but he obeyed God. He said, faith is not the absence of fear, but moving forward in obedience despite fear. I'm going to repeat that. Faith is not the absence of fear, but moving forward in obedience despite fear. Sometimes what God has called you to do, it's so big your head can't handle it. Sometimes what God has called you to do, your family can't deal with it. Sometimes what God has called you to do, the church can't handle. And you now have to do it fearful. But in faith, you're moving forward with confidence that because God said, I am a mighty warrior, it means that he's going to guide me to the promised land. So the Bible says in Judges 6 verse 30 to 31, I want to share something with you. Please, like when you do watch something on TV, it says to you that you should be careful what may happen afterwards. I'm here to tell you that with every decision that you make, there's a price tag on it. For every major move that you're about to make in your life, you have to give something up. For every major decision that you are willing to make in your life, you will lose some friends. For every decision that you make in life, understand that to go up, you got to give up something. So the Bible says in Judges 6 verse 30 to 31, the people of the town demanded of Joash, who is Gideon's dad, bring out your son, he must die. Because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by the morning. If Baal really is God, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. I wish somebody felt that with me. I wish somebody was there with me. Sometimes when God has called you to tear down certain things, if those certain things are adversarial towards you, let them deal with it for themselves. Because when God calls you to a new thing, you have to make some new moves. Just think about yourself when you got some good news. You don't sit and operate the same way. If you have long hair, you flash it back. If you have receding lines like myself, you nod forward because you don't want them lines to go any further back. But what happens here, when you are about to start something new, you must tear down the old things. I wish I had a witness up in here. Because sometimes you want to go to new places with old things and old coaches can't fit in the new apartment. Sometimes when you're about to take on new things, you got to get rid of old things. When you are about to start on new things, you may have to let go of some old friends. When you're about to start a new thing, you may have to make some unpopular decisions that may rob you of the status that you had in certain groups. When you take on new relationships, if you have people who are not relationship builders, you have to let them go. Is it a price? I say to everybody, my father would say this to me. There's a price tag on obedience. There's a price tag on obedience where every time you choose to be obedient to God, you will face opposition from people. You lose some sleep sometimes. You lose your comfort zone and you will just have to do it because you have to break the cycle of the past. If Gideon had a choice, Gideon could have either chosen to stay in the path of his fathers and the Israelites, or Gideon could choose to make decisions that would lead him to a better place. I want to share a secret with you sometimes. Sometimes the very same people who are the naysayers when you're doing the big things are the same people who become cheerleaders when you win on the big things. I wish I had a witness up in here. The same people who are the naysayers when you're about to make big moves, when you make them big moves, they're the same ones who say, I knew you could do it. I say, watch out for those folks. It's a Gideon. I'm going to use two words here. Gideon was empowered, but he was nervous. Gideon was empowered, but he was fearful. Gideon was empowered, but he still was uncertain because of the trauma that he had inherited from his family, the Israelites. But the Bible says in Judges 6, verse 33 to 34, now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and other eastern people joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit, I wish somebody could find that with me. Go to that book, Judges 6, verse 34. Because you see, when you make big moves, God gives you big strength. You see, when you make small moves, you can't handle big things. But the fact that Gideon made a big move in the first place and walked with God, guess what? He was now strong. The Bible says in Judges 6, verse 34, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrite to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also in Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet him. You're talking about a guy. He was nervous. He was a coward. He was afraid. He was hiding. He was threshing wheat in a ditch when he should be on the mountaintop. He was a part of the lowest tribe, and he was considered the lowest in his family. And now, because he accepted the calling that God placed on his life, he now had the confidence because the Holy Spirit came on him, and he was now summoning other members of the nation of Israel to join him. I'm here to tell you that when you step forward with God in faith, he will give you an energy. He'll give you a confidence that is bigger than those around you. You will pinch yourself and say, am I really doing this? And the reason why you're asking it, because yesterday you were weak, you were puny, you were afraid. But with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing that you won't take on, because you are a mighty warrior. The Bible says, the enemy joined forces and camped nearby, and it was scary. It was a scary time for the Israelites. But this was an opportunity for Gideon to put his newfound faith to the test. You many times we are saying to ourselves that, why God allowed me this hard task? But what God is saying to you is that I have given you faith, and I'm giving you this hard task so that you can prove your faith. So many of us, we are stuck in reverse, not because they're not a forward gear, but because we are fearful of using the tools and the strength and the faith that God has given to us. So God was saying to Gideon, as you look at the Amalekites, don't be afraid about them. If I could allow the offering that you gave to me to be consumed in fire, what do you think I will do with those silly guys who are camped up over there? So many times we are in that place. You see, Gideon at this point, he was a transformed man. Gideon was now ready to walk in his ordained path. Gideon acknowledged that God is on his side. Gideon stood up for the challenge. Gideon was ready for the battle. I'd like to share this with you as believers. Wherever you are, whether you're in the pew with me today or you're watching online, once you are moving forward, you will face challenges. You know, you have never seen a dog barking at a parked vehicle or a thief trying to rob an empty bank. I wish somebody got that. You see, whenever you are on a mission for the king, the adversary will attack you. So if Gideon was not moving forward, the Amalekites wouldn't deem it fit to show their power and gather their army. I'm here to tell somebody here that the minute that you accept what God has promised you, the enemy will come out in numbers. And at that point, you should say, thank you for the opportunity to prove my faith. But the Bible says, after Gideon assembled the mighty army. So Gideon blew his horn, and by this time, Gideon, who was a lowly guy who was hiding, he now found himself with approximately 32,000 soldiers. But Gideon, the Lord said to him that you don't need all that extra weight. And God stripped him of the army and left him with only 300 men. I'm here to tell you that sometimes we have the right vision, but we have the wrong crowd. I wish I had a witness up in here. Sometimes you have the right vision, but you're in the wrong crowd. And if you're in the wrong crowd with the right vision would seem like the wrong vision, and the wrong crowd would give you a new vision. And before you know, you're heading in the wrong direction with the wrong vision, even though God had already given you the right vision. Sometimes God reduces your resources so you cannot deny his power. You see, many of us sometimes we want the limelight, and because we want the limelight, we want everything to be aligned the way we want it. But God has a way of scrambling the deck. And when you look at the deck, you're like, I can't win with this hand. And God is saying that, yes, you're right. You can't win with that hand, but I can win with you without that hand. Sometimes God wants to set us up, so he must get rid of our setbacks. I wish I had a witness up in here. Sometimes God wants to set you up, but he has to get rid of your setbacks. And sometimes your setbacks are the closest things to you, the very things that you're comfortable with, the very person you spend 15 hours a day back and forth with. If that thing and that person is not aligned with your vision, God is saying that he has to go. God is saying you got to cut that thing loose, because the promise that I have for you is a promise that is bigger than the insecure mind that has taken up your space and robbing you of the crystal view that I have for your future. Sometimes the people in your circle are not ready for the altitude. You know, sometimes we are hanging out with pigeons and we are eagles, and pigeons can't handle where eagles fly. And sometimes God is saying that it's time for you to soar. So you need to let go of the pigeons and fly with the eagles. I said, God has anointed you with an extra size lung to take on the beauty of prosperity, but you're hanging for so long with the pigeons, you have forgotten how to fly. So the Israelites had changed their space from being eagles, and they were now pigeons. And when Gideon made that move, God recognized that those 32,000 soldiers, some of them were still living in the pigeon land. And God was saying, you need soldiers who could fly like eagles, who are ready to take the command, because a pigeon understand that they can't go but too far. My old grandmother would say that, show me your company and I'll tell you how far you'll be going. People who are not committed to your vision and direction, they will sap your energy slowly. They will rob you of the confidence you need to pursue God's will. They will distract you and have you second guess the calling that God has in your life. It's like you were planning and opening a business 15 years ago, and your friend said to you, that's a bad idea. And 15 years later, the next friend opened the same business. I wish I had a witness up in here. So often we are hanging in the wrong groups. And God was saying to Gideon that you are investing your confidence in number, but I'm the one with the superpower. You see, many times we are confident in what people can do, but we are saying the God who regularly has conversations with tomorrow, let him lead my today. I wish somebody got that. You see, everything that we do, we try to set ourselves up for tomorrow. But if you serve a God who has regular conversations with tomorrow, why should you worry about what he's asking you to do today? See, God is saying, he's saying to you that God was removing all the obstacles from Gideon's life that might have interfered with the plans he had for Gideon. God wants to do the same thing in your life. That friend or that colleague who is toxic, the habit that keeps holding you back, the hobby that serves no good, the app that you have on your phone that only keeps you scrolling. I've never seen a person got a full-time job because of how strong their thumbs are. Stop scrolling. I'm going to repeat it for the youngins here. They heard me. There's no career out there for having strong thumbs. So scrolling all day and robbing yourself of what God has in store for you, God is saying cut it loose. But I want to share with you here the interesting thing about Gideon. We're wrapping it up now. Is it's okay to be unsure of where you are, but when you have the maker and the warrior king, you have it safe. You see, God knew that Gideon was still nervous. God knew that Gideon was still afraid. So the Bible says in Judges 7 verse 9 to 15, and if you miss anything this morning or this afternoon, please take this home with you and take it into your new week. The Bible says, during that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up and go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. But notice here, if is almost like a question. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Pura. He said, if you are afraid. But then verse 11 says, and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Pura, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. Verse 13, Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend in the dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianites' camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hand. I wish somebody was ready for me here because this is the hallelujah moment. You see, the meaning of this dream, the round loaf of bread, barley bread was a poor man's food. If you're from places like Jamaica and other places, they call it ton corn meal, something that is a poor man's food. It said the barley bread was for the common people, the humble people. It wasn't fancy. It was often associated with poor, oppressed people. Like the Israelites, under the Midianites' oppression, Gideon was now given a testament from God about what was about to happen. The barley loaf symbolizes Gideon and his small, seemingly insignificant army, weak in the world's eyes, but magnificent in the hand of God. You see, coming tumbling down, the image of the low bread tumbling into the camp signals an unexpected, unstoppable force. I'm here to tell somebody here today that you may label yourself as a barley loaf, as someone or something that is oppressed. But God is saying that he will allow the enemy to prophesy about the great thing that you're about to do. Remember, when Gideon walked down, it was a member of the enemy's camp who was telling another friend in the enemy's camp that, guess what? I had a dream. I saw a barley loaf and it was moving. And it must be the hand of Gideon, the son of Joash, because he was now proclaiming that as a result of this dream, Gideon is going to defeat us with his 300 men. Sometimes we are so locked in our insecurities, we can't recognize the power that God still has when it comes on to using us to do mighty things. This dream, a powerful dream, it shows that God often works through the unlikely things, through the small things, through the unlikely ordinary things. God is ready to do extraordinary things. Even the enemy recognized. You know, a friend of mine once said to me, if you want to know who's the best player on your team, go and sit in the other locker room for the coach. And who is he talking about? Whichever player he's talking about, that's the player who you got to watch out for. The adversary already know that even though you may be a barley loaf, the enemy is worried about what God can do with your life. No matter the insecurities that you may have or the traumas that you have inherited, God is ready to do something great for you. So the Bible says in Judges 7 verse 15, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped. He returned to the camp of the Israelites and he called out, get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into our hands. So God is waiting to do something great in your hands today. But all God is wanting for you to step forward and accept the fact that you're a mighty warrior. Gideon divided his men into three groups. They blew the trumpet and broke their jars that were in their hands. A sword for the Lord and one for Gideon. They held their position around the camp. All the Midianites ran and cried. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other. The army fled. And that was a victory for the Israelites. So you may be bothered by your current position. But God's plan for your life is greater than your limited perspective of who you are. See, the Midianites, they were powerful. They were the bullies of the day. The Midianites were feared by everybody else. But regardless of the obstacles that you face, once you have the Lord anointing and appointing you as a mighty warrior, there's nothing that you cannot conquer once he's on your side. You see, Gideon was humble. Gideon was untrained. Gideon was a coward young man who did not fit the script of a mighty warrior. He was an average in every sense. He doubted himself. He was not respected by his family. Gideon was the least among his tribe. Gideon's companions were discouragement, despair, and intimidation. But even though he was in that space, God called on him. And God said that you are a mighty warrior. You see, God has no boundaries when he's ready to use you. God has no limits when it's time he's calling you to courage. God uses the tough times to get your attention. God sees more than what you see. God confirms his priorities with his presence. Once God is in the midst, it means that you are his priority. My question to you this morning, as I'm getting ready to close, are you living in the past? Are you allowing yourself to be held captive by the trauma that you have inherited? Are you so wallowing in the pain and the failures that you have had to the point you're not making bold moves? Have you given up on existence? Are you hiding in caves just because of what has happened to your people? Is it like Gideon? God may find you in a hiding, doubting, questioning place, but he still sees you as a warrior. God sees more in you than you are seeing in yourself. It's time for you to step out of your wine press and step out in your purpose. You see, God is saying that it's time for you to stop playing around and start playing the role. My question to you as we close, what fears and what insecurities do you have in your life that is preventing you from doing that new thing? You see, God wants to do a new thing in your life today. But God has called you. He's appointed and anointed you. But you're still living in the trauma of your past. You know, many of you guys want to do big things, but you're still living in the pain that you have inherited. But God is saying that he brought out that big scissors and he has clipped that scissors, so that line, so you're no longer connected to that piece. God is saying that you are a new person once you claim me. I'm here to call you a mighty warrior. If there's somebody up in here this morning, or if you're watching from the comforts of your home, and you're saying that I know that God has called me a mighty warrior, I'd like for you to stand with me and say, God, there are many times that I've sat back because I'm too comfortable living in the caves. I'm saying that not because it's offering you shelter means that it'll be leading you to the promised land. I hope somebody got that. Not because you're living in a cave means that that's what God has meant for you. Not because you have that job means that that's your limit. Not because you're enjoying that meal means that's the only meal that God wants you to have. Not because you're having a jump up happy moment. God has greater things for you, but you have to make that move to claim the promise that he has for your life. And God is saying that regardless of where you're coming from, I'm willing to meet you in the wine press. I'm willing to take the burdens from you, and I'm willing to lead you to the promised land. If I have somebody else with me here this morning, are you saying, God, I want to give you my best. God, I know that my past decisions were not the best. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I must be honest that I've not made the best decisions. I must accept the fact that I'm insecure and I'm broken. But God is saying that you are a mighty warrior. As the musician is playing, I'd like to offer a special prayer. And the reason why I'm saying this is that what I'm sharing here is not because I think it has happened. It's because I found myself in that position many times. But the worst thing about finding yourself in that position is understanding what you're doing to God. Is that God is saying that, Jamie, you have acres of diamond in front of you and you're holding to the rocks because when the sun is hot, you can't see clearly. I'm asking you at this point, if you're committed to making that next step by saying, God, not only am I a mighty warrior, but I'm ready to face the battles that you have for me because there's a promised land in front of me and God, I want to claim it. I'd like for you to step forward with me. I'm going to be the first to step forward because that's where I'm at. I still struggle with that sometimes, claiming what is rightfully mine. If you're there with me, I'd like for you to come up here with me. As we hold hands and we pray and we ask God to give us that confidence to claim the promises that he has for our lives. You see, the first thing is to make that step. And when you're making those steps in your personal lives, because I know that the steps that you're making here, the harder steps comes when you head home to your spaces, to your friend groups. And you have to make some decision that would throw your friends off. But you have to say to your friends that, I prefer acres of diamond than a rock that has no value. And when you make those decisions, you'll have people sometimes who say that they'll cry shame. But remember this, the very naysayers that you have today will be the cheerleaders tomorrow. So don't be bothered by it. They're going to be saying to you that you should have known better. Make that bold step. But I'm going to pray for us today. And my prayer is that God may lead us to the place that we need to be. And that God will give us the confidence to make steps even when the adversary and those close to us are saying that that step doesn't make any sense. The steps that Gideon made did not make any sense. Gideon was not a warrior. Gideon had not fought a battle. Gideon had only led himself in the winepress because he was a coward. But God found him in his hidden place and anointed him and asked him to do something that was greater than he has ever done. Could you imagine when Gideon ripped those things down, the Baal worship, they wanted to kill him. Gideon was afraid while he was doing it. Gideon was afraid while he was making his moves. Gideon did not walk out with a Superman chest saying, I got this. He walked out fearful. He was so fearful, he did it in the nighttime. If it was at this point, he would have done it with his private Instagram account under a pseudonym. Gideon would have cloned somebody else's name when he made that proclamation. But Gideon was willing to do the right thing even though he was fearful, because Gideon understood that the promise that God gave him was bigger than the life that he had lived. Gideon understood that the weakness that he had, God had greater strength for him. Gideon recognized that what he inherited from his parents wasn't the ideal path for his life. I'm here to tell somebody this morning that you may be enjoying your cave-like moments with your bats, but God has a better place for you. The bad thing about this, sometimes we get so comfortable with the broken bones and the caves and everything, we forget that there's a better life to live. The reason why the people wanted to kill Gideon is because they had gotten comfortable with mediocrity. They had gotten comfortable with being slaves. They had gotten comfortable with being robbed. That's the reason why they were angry with Gideon, because Gideon had removed their false gods. But God is, I ask God this morning that he may unsettle your spirit so that you will not accept any second-class status in life, but you may claim to be different even if you're authorized by others. But once God has called you, he has promised a place for you that is better than where you're coming from. So at this point in life, you close your eyes with me. Eternal and most righteous Father who lives in heaven. Father, as we stand before you here, Father, many of us, we are plagued with the imposter syndrome. Father, we are plagued with the traumas of our past. Father, we have inherited the pain, the hurt, and the failures from our parents or grandparents, even from our forefathers who first made it on the ships or those who went through hardship. Father, we have inherited all those things. And Father, as a result of that, we have accepted the mediocre labor that the world has placed on us. And that has prevented us from walking forward with confidence and claiming the promises that you have for us. But Father, this afternoon, I ask that you may touch everyone who's standing, everyone who's in the hearing of my voice, that they may step forward with confidence and saying to you that regardless of what was said about me, regardless of what I have experienced, regardless of my forefathers, you have called me as a mighty warrior, and I'm going to march forward with faith. Even though they may see me as a barley loaf, you are willing to do unmanageable things with me because you have called and anointed me. Father, those who are looking to start that new job and those who are looking to start that business, those who are looking to move on into a new relationship, those who are looking to start college, those who are looking to move on, those who are looking to change their friend groups, those who are looking to start a new path, I ask that you may remind them that people will let go of them, but you'll hold even tighter to them. So Father, as we separate ourselves in this space, I ask that you may draw closer to us. Allow our hearts to be filled with your presence. And Father, guide us so that we may break loose and we may claim the courageous position just as Gideon did. And Father, give us the strength to cut loose the extra baggage and the extra weight that holds us back. Because Father, you have given us a mission and not all crowds are suited for a mission. So we ask for your blessings. We ask for your guidance and we ask for your deliverance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.